Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hello, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all, and we're looking forward to today's episode where we're going through Luke chapter 14 and looking at leaving all to follow Jesus Christ, one of the most radical little sections in the Bible. So grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. So before we dive into God's Word, let us pray. Father in heaven, you are holy. Hallowed be your name. You are holy, you are gracious, you are good. You call us into your great kingdom. And as we seek your kingdom, as we seek your face, as we seek your glory, we ask that your word will become living, true, and active for us today. We ask that our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears will be opened to behold your glory and your truth. Now, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look at the passage. It's probably one of the most misquoted, misunderstood passages in the scripture. It's very radical in what it says. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after all he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who seek it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, cannot be my disciple. So what's Jesus talking about? Is he saying we're going to hate our own family? And yet in the rest of his commandments, he says love one another. And the New Testament says to love one another fervently. And gives instructions about how we are to take care of our family. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And wives are to submit their husband to their husbands as to the Lord. So here he seems to be talking about destroying the family. Well, rest of the Bible talks about building it up. What's he saying? What's this hating going on? Do we have to be abusive to our wives, our husbands, or ourselves? Do we have to stand before the mirror and say that we hate ourselves? What's going on? It's a very puzzling passage indeed. By hate, he means that we, in our own self-preservation, cannot preserve our lives and enter into the kingdom of God. We cannot preserve things the way they are and enter into the kingdom of God. We have to make a clear individual choice to step out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And we cannot let even the most lovely aspects of our life before Christ hold us back from making that decision for Jesus, from repenting of our sins and entering into the kingdom of God and bringing forth the good fruits of the kingdom. We're to bring forth the good fruits of the kingdom. First of all, we're to head into the kingdom of God. It is the ultimate priority in our lives is entering into the kingdom of God. If our brother or sister holds us back, if we say, I'm going to offend my brother or sister, I'm going to offend my mother or father, if I convert out of my tribal religion into Christianity, they will hate me. And then you have a choice to make. And you have to say, okay, I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to believe in the kingdom of God. I'm going to accept the challenge of entering into eternal life. And if my mother or father, brother or sister hates me, That is a cost that I am prepared to make. And you need to put that to one side. And all the time in life, we have to make choices and not let ourselves be imprisoned by the opinions of our friends and family or even by the thoughts in our own head. And sometimes we have a false conscience. The conscience says, well, I can't do that. I can't be a Christian. I'm a this or a that instead. And we have to hate our own conception of ourselves. For instance, before I was saved, I was finishing off a degree in chemistry and I considered myself to be a bit of an intellectual. I considered myself above the Christians and I thought the Christians were rather silly. Now that was pride. That was damnable pride. That wasn't the truth at all. I was just puffing myself up as unbelievers do. So I had to hate myself. I had to hate my own estimation of myself. When I became a Christian, I had to put aside my intellectualism and accept that the gospel was by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't enter into the kingdom of God by my own calculations or prognostications or thoughts or philosophy. I had to just accept that God was reaching out to me through Jesus Christ. I was actually trying to disprove God, the existence of God mathematically. I had pages covered in calculations. And I was trying to introduce some variation into the laws of the universe so miracles could spontaneously happen. And I could not do that. And then God appeared to me as a light and spoke to me for 20 minutes. And I realized that God existed. God's grace rescued me from my own intellectual pride and darkness. And lots of things can keep us into the kingdom of darkness. The affections of our family, our own thoughts about ourselves. And we must reject those things that hold us back from believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And for some people, that cost is very great indeed. If someone in Saudi Arabia wants to enter into the kingdom of God, a terrible cost will be made, because if the secret police find out, they can be executed for going, leaving the Islamic religion and going to the Christian religion. A lot of places in the world, and particularly in villages in India, if they leave Hinduism and become a Christian, they can be persecuted terribly for believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we have to count the cost. We have to think about how much is it going to cost me to become a Christian. And on the other hand, we have to think very carefully, what will it cost me not to become a Christian? And that was part of my consideration. I thought it won't do me any harm to become a Christian, but it might do me a lot of harm to not to believe. I thought it was harmless to believe in God, and in Australia at the time it was. But I found out, I found out that many people pay an enormous price for becoming a Christian and following Jesus Christ with great sincerity. So you have to work out what is the cost of the kingdom for you, where you are at, where you are walking along in your life. Now this is not telling you to go around hating your family. The Bible tells you and the rest of the Bible to love your family. Rather, you must not let your family hold you back from believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And for those of you that are Catholics, and your family is very Catholic, and they don't want you to be born again, they think the born-again Christians are terrible, you need to really think about how to believe in Jesus. You need to look at the Bible. Go and read the New Testament. Does it back up worship of Mary? No, it does not. Does anyone in the Bible go and pray to Mary? No, they do not. There are many things that are wrong in Catholicism, and you will find that if you study the scripture for yourself. So get hold of a Bible, particularly the New Testament. Read through the Bible, and you find that Catholicism is not true. It does not say the Pope is necessary for salvation. You do not have to believe in the Pope. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Pope is not mentioned in Scripture. So you do not have to be loyal to the Pope. You do not have to pray for Mary. You might have to step out of your Catholic religion and become born again, just as Nicodemus, who was very religious but not saved, had to step out of the Jewish religion and get born again through faith in Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. So then in verse 27 it says, And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Entering into the kingdom of God involves taking up the cross of Jesus Christ. And that means you have to die to yourself and your own passions. For he who has come to God has crucified the flesh and its passions. So we have to crucify the old nature. We have to put to death our flesh. We have to put to death our temper. We have to put to death our sexual immorality. We have to put to death many things that would hold us in prisons of sin. A love of money, a love of social status. These things can hold us in prison and we have to crucify them. And we have to say, these aspects of my life are not going to control me anymore. That your sensitivity is not going to control you anymore. That your moods are not going to control you anymore. Rather, you are going to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. You're going to fully enter into the kingdom of God. You're going to enter into the reign and rule of God over your life. Jesus Christ is going to be your Lord. You are going to obey him. So here you're taking up the cross. You're dying to self. You're dying to your old passions. You're dying to your old sinful nature that once controlled you and once controlled your impulses. You will put away things from your life that you're going to crucify your old magic items. You're going to throw them away. Those pornographic videos, you're going to throw them away. You're not going to have anything to do with the evil deeds of darkness. And these things are not going to control you anymore. You are going to crucify the flesh and its desires. You are going to walk by the Spirit. You are going to have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. And you're not going to indulge the works of the flesh, such as contention, strife, idolatry, sexual immorality, murder, and the like. And we look at that in Galatians 5, 19 to 23. So you've got to bear the cross. If you can't bear that cross, you cannot be Jesus' disciple. You can't be Jesus' disciple and in the flesh at the same time. You can't be in forward gear and reverse gear at the same time. Forward gear is following Jesus and his commandments. Reverse gear is following the world, the flesh, and the devil. You can't follow the world, the flesh, and the devil and follow Jesus. So you can't be in reverse gear, following the world, the flesh, and the devil, and in the forward gear, following Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the will of God. Those are opposite directions in your life. So you must be crucified to the world, crucified to the flesh, and crucified to all the wiles of the devil who is trying to control your life. You must make a decisive decision to put away the things that are destroying you. Put away your addictions to alcohol, to drugs, to cigarettes, to all the things that hold you back in your life, to those things that control you in one way or the other. Put away those evil websites. Put away the thoughts in your mind of revenge and hatred. Put away your rage. Walk away from those things. Walk away from thoughts of revenge and clan revenge and all the things and payback. Put that away from you and decide to live in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make that decision to step out of your old life and into the new. Accept the cross. Accept that you are crucified with Christ and that you've put all those things away. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Do not be one of those people who starts out on a spiritual life, says, this looks cool, this looks good, this church is a lot of fun, I like the loud music, and you go in and you decide you're going to be a Christian. But as soon as it costs you something, as soon as you say, oh, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that now, why are they asking me to read my Bible? Why are they asking me to pray? Why are they asking me to help support the church? As soon as it starts to cost you some time, as soon as people say, ah, ha, ha, you're a Christian now, what are you doing going to that church? These people fall away. They fall away very quickly. They're like those who hear the word and it falls on stony ground, and as soon as persecution comes up, the shallow ground, they run away from the word of God. And their salvation does not last. You need to make, and why didn't their salvation last? Because they never made a clear-cut decision to follow Jesus, no matter what it cost. Recently, I was praying and about the old youth group that I was part of many, many years ago in the early 80s, 40 years ago. Gee, time has flown. And I thought, why did so few of those people go on to maturity in Christ? Why are they still living very worldly lives? Why did so few of those people press on to maturity in Christ? And how come I have? What's the difference between me and them? Because I was sort of the least person in the youth group. I was not very popular, as I was skinny and awkward and difficult. So anyway, the Lord said to me, because you took things seriously. You see, we have to take God seriously. For them, being a Christian was a nice badge. They liked it. They liked the feel of the church. They liked the social group. They enjoyed being part of the church. But when it comes to taking God's will seriously, I, being isolated, decided to take God's will seriously. I decided to take learning about the Bible seriously. I decided to take ministry seriously. I dug in and I said, okay, I'm going to learn all this stuff. This is serious. This God thing really, really matters. Because of the dramatic nature of my conversion, I wasn't brought up in a Christian family. I went from darkness to light. I went from a place of great internal turmoil and loneliness to a place where I knew I was in the light of God. I knew I'd changed. I knew God had done a tremendously big work in my life. And I took God seriously. And I accepted the cross. I said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to know God. I'm going to do whatever it takes to lead a positive Christian life. I'm going to do whatever it takes to obey Jesus. And someone once said to me many years later after this, I don't know of anyone that takes doing the will of God as seriously as you do. And I did. I took doing the will of God absolutely seriously. And that's what it means to take up your cross and count the cost and follow Jesus. You take your Christian life seriously. It's not just a frill. It's not just a flibbertigibbet. It's not just something that you're a casual thing where you walk into church and walk out of church. God is serious. The kingdom of God is serious. He is King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. The people will be raised. There's heaven, there's hell. Believing in Jesus, entering into the kingdom, is a very serious business. It's the most serious decision you'll ever make in your life. And you have to think about it. You have to think about the cost of following God. You have to think about the cost of not following God. The next day of verses, it says, saying, or what king going out to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. You see, where there's a choice between two kings here, the king of the kingdom of darkness or the king of the kingdom of God. And you can decide what's happening. Now, Jesus is coming back. And you can't hold on to the kingdom of darkness. You can't belong to the kingdom of darkness. You can't take the mark of the beast. You can't get 666 on your hand and your forehead. You can't cling to the things of this world, because the King of Kings is coming back and his army is huge, and he is going to destroy all the nations of the world and all their wealth and all their power. He is going to reduce the kings of the earth to nothing, and they will throw their idols to the bats in the caves. And the King of Kings is coming back, and you've got to decide whose side you're on. And you might have to forsake everything. You might have to throw away your wealth, your power, your status, your position in society to follow after Jesus, because a great war is coming. And in any way, you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged at the end of your life, even if the Lord does not return till you have passed away. And you have to decide whose side you're on, and you have to make peace. And it's a really, really good idea to make peace with God now, to throw everything away that puts you at war with God. And you might say, but I can't do that. I've got this idol over here. I've got these family heirlooms. I've got these juju beads. I've got all the stuff. And it amounts to a lot of money. And our family's practiced witchcraft for generation after generation. I cannot throw all this stuff away. My family will hate me. I'm supposed to be the witch doctor for my family. I'm supposed to be the one that tells fortunes. I'm supposed to be the one that does this or does that. And yet you must throw all that away. just as they did in Ephesus, where they get all the magic books and burn them. And that was 50,000 drachmas, which would be millions of dollars today in wages, 50,000 days' labor. And I don't know how much, what's a day's labor over there? Let's say 5,000, it's 250,000, whatever. I'm making up a number, not $5,000 for a day's work, but $50, say. And so so 50,000 by $2.5 million, whatever. It's a huge amount of money, and they burnt all these books and destroyed them, because you have to forsake all that is of this world and follow Jesus. Following Jesus is absolutely deadly serious. You cannot trifle with it. Entering into the kingdom of God is the biggest thing you will ever do. You are making a decision to completely alter your lifestyle. You are saying, I am putting away the lifestyle of the world. I'm putting away the lifestyle of the flesh. I'm putting away the lifestyle of the devil. I'm taking up my cross, and I am following the commandments of Jesus Christ as the rule of my life. You are saying the commandments of Jesus, the commandments in the Bible, will rule over you. You will be meek, you will be humbled, you will be joyful, you will be spirit-filled. You will forgive people. You will be a person who shows forth the radiance and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The aim of your life will be Christ-likeness. There's nothing bigger and better you can do with your life than to be Christ-like and to follow the commandments that are there in the Bible, to love one another as yourself, to be humble, to be meek, to meet the needs of the poor, to go out of your way for the lonely, to go out of your way for the orphan and the widow in distress, to pray for the sick and heal them. These are all there in the Bible as commandments that you will follow as you're led by the Spirit of God to do the works of God on this earth. So you, instead of going to do the will of the devil, instead of being a son or daughter of disobedience, you're going to be a son or daughter of the living God. You're going to be a citizen of heaven, and the commandments of Jesus Christ are going to be the law of your life. You're not going back to the law of Moses. You're not going back to the laws of commerce. You're not going back to the laws of the flesh and greed and pleasure. You are looking ahead to holiness. You're looking ahead to the will of God, and you're taking God seriously, and you're saying, from now on, I am following Jesus. I am taking up his cross. I am being his disciple. I am copying Jesus. I'm copying him in holiness. I'm copying him in love. I'm copying him in kindness. I'm going to walk, talk, live and be like Jesus. I'm going to breathe like Jesus, think like Jesus, read the Bible like Jesus, pray like Jesus. I'm going to copy the Jesus lifestyle in and out until it becomes my lifestyle. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to take God seriously, just as I took God seriously as a brand new Christian, and I take God very, very seriously today. You're not going to go after the ways of this world. You're not going to be boastful. You're not going to be proud. You're not going to engage in bullying people. You're not going to engage in sexual immorality. You're not going to put yourself up on a pedestal. You, instead, are going to follow the commandments of Jesus Christ in lowliness, meekness, truth, and godliness. You are going to put away all the glitter and glamour of this world, which doesn't matter, which is passing away. You're going to put away all that glitter and glamour, all the desire to put yourself up in the world. The world does not matter. For the world is perishing, and the love of the world is totally different from the love of the Father. Instead, you're going to love the Father, you're going to love the Son, you're going to have the love of God poured out in your heart through the Holy Spirit, and you're going to step out there for Jesus. And if the day comes when people say, we're going to send all the Christians to jail, you'll willingly go to jail. And if the day comes when they say, we're going to behead all the Christians, then you will willingly be beheaded, because you will take up your cross and you will follow Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. You will follow Jesus to the end of the earth. If he says, go leave your country, go to another country, you will do that. If he says, love the person next door that you can't stand, you will do that. You are not here for your own comfort. You're not here for yourself. You're here for the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God will rule over you. You will enter into that kingdom of God, and you will find eternal life. You will find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You will find joy forever and ever. And you will find yourself transformed day by day into the image of God. You'll find yourself changed into a new person, a person that's almost unrecognizable from the person you were before, because you will be pursuing God by faith. You will walk by faith from faith, and God will restore you. God will change you as you take God seriously, as you put to death the things of the world, as you put to death the things of the flesh, you put to death the things of the devil. You take up the cross of Jesus Christ, and you ignore the pressure coming from your brothers, sisters, mothers, family, friends, or others. The pressure to compromise, the pressure to walk backwards, the pressure to throw away your precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a pressure that you do not have to give in to. Instead, you're going to follow Jesus. You're going to follow Jesus no matter what. Because whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. You have to be prepared to forsake all. And you know what? God gives it back. I've been a Christian for 45 years. At times, in order to be a missionary, I've had to pretty much forsake all. I thought I'd end up broken, destitute. I didn't think I'd ever be able to retire. But God has allowed us, my wife and I, to enjoy a degree of comfort in our old age. And we say, God gave it all back. We forsook all, but God gave it back. And we're happy and we're content. And we are blessed. And we're not rich, but we are financially okay. And we can look back and say, all the things that I walked away from, all the things that I thought I would never have, and thought I'd never have a car or never have a house and things like that, well, they've been given back to me. I have a car, I have a house, I have a wonderful wife, I have a good life. And the years when I thought I was just suffering for the kingdom of God, God has rewarded me, God has blessed me, God has lifted me up. And I can testify that forsaking all is worth it. And so be there for the Lord Jesus Christ. Reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's worth the sacrifice. And not only will things be restored to you in this life, they'll be restored to you in the next. And you will, with all things, have eternal life, joy, peace, forgiveness of sins, and a wonderful heavenly reward as you press on into the kingdom of God. Now believe in Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.